Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to our second hour here on Circles of Change, our 250th show, and it's always a pleasure to kind of scan the horizon and bring guests from the business sector, from nonprofits and the performing arts, and indeed that's what we've done today because I welcome on the line John Gilliton in Los Angeles. John, how are you this morning?
I'm very well, Zara. Nice to speak with you.
Absolutely. And folks, listen in. Stick with us. We're going to listen to some of the cuts off of John's two albums because, indeed, he's worked in a wide variety of music venues in the U.S. and abroad, including co-writing the Grammy Award-winning song New Attitude from the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack. As a keyboardist and piano player, John has worked live or in the studio with famous artists and producers from almost every form of popular music, rhythm and blues, jazz, instrumental, ambient healing, and easy listening to country western that span movies, movements, styles, and generations of both performers and, admittedly, listeners. In fact, some of my favorite from the years ago still are readily accessible. People he's worked with: James Taylor, Carole King, Willie Nelson, Tucson's Linda Ronstadt, Aretha Franklin, Celine Dion, and two new artists, at least to me, Joss Groban, Leanne Womack, and Rascal Flatts. A 1979 graduate of the Frost School of Music at the University of Miami and longtime resident now of Los Angeles, John has also composed, arranged, and produced music for Good Morning America and Entertainment Tonight, and also a film composer, wrote the original score for Lifetime feature Wildflower and NBC's The Secret Sins of the Father. An avid global traveler and lover of the outdoors, John is always up for a musical adventure, including recently, as I mentioned, releasing two of his own CDs, soloing and in collaboration with lifelong friends from the industry. And as well, what brought us together, he's also back in school now, right? Tell us what you're studying.
It's definitely not a musical orientation at this point. I'm studying spiritual psychology at the University of Santa Monica.
Terrific. So, but I imagine that that study is crisscrossing a lot of elements from what you've done to this point in time, John.
Yeah, it's really surprising to me how it's all coming together. You know, I mean, we all think that we're on a path, and then the path looks a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And then we realize through our studies and readings and everything else, it's really all the same. You know, it's really all connected, and that's really what I'm learning more about with my studies. It's I went there for a specific reason, to sort of broaden my horizons and maybe look into a different path as far as my career even. But what I've gained from it personally has just been so amazing to me. I can't even imagine.
It's a fact. We say it's part of your transformation. Well, before we talk further about that, back to my introduction of you, I'm sure our listeners are fascinated the opportunity that you've had to rub shoulders with and work for and support so many artists. Tell us about that journey, the steps.
Well, I'm just exhausted listening
to the list, right?
Career. I was like, wow, have I really done all that?
That's nice.
That's amazing. I think it's sort of, if you look at it from a broader perspective, it's definitely it all seems to be part of the desire to be of service in some way. I mean, at least that's how I'm visualizing it now. I've had a lot of great fortune in my life to work with some of the best artists in the business, and it's my dreams definitely came true. It's then you get to the point in your life, which I think is related to my studies now and my current path. It's like, okay, well, if you're fortunate enough to have your dreams come true,
mm-hmm.
What next?
Yeah, what next? Well, in fact, you entitled our segment here today, How Do You Keep the Music Playing and Does the Song Remain the Same?
Yeah.
Which is a great metaphor. Before we get too far, though, I would love to hear a couple stories about some of those artists that you had the chance to work for. You know, personal connections, or, you know, you're in a recording studio and something went haywire, or, you know, how maybe some of the best stuff happened as a result of you folks not being on a schedule.
Well, you know, that is the case a lot of the time in our business, and I guess in maybe many businesses, we call them happy mistakes, you know,
mm-hmm.
where you have a plan. You know, it's everybody speaks about you know, man makes plans and God laughs.
Right, exactly.
So we have these things that happen that are completely out of our egoic, conscious mind's plan for what was going to happen. And then out of that, you just, this magic occurs. You know, as far as that kind of magic with specific artists, I don't know. A lot of the bigger artists that I've worked with in the studio, it really does a lot of the time. There's just so much on the line that there is a very concise plan, and because it's expensive and people really need to get things accomplished, that it does make more sense to stick to the plan. And nowadays, you know, with the way the business has gone and the way the budgets have gone, there is much, much, much less time when you're doing those kind of projects to just be in the moment and experiment and allow the magic to happen. I mean, there's just...
Doesn't that break your heart then?
It does break my heart. But, you know, instead of becoming a heartbroken...
right.
I've made the choice to go a different way. I mean, there's a lot of elements about what has sort of transpired in my business that could be, if you allow them to become that way, they could be heartbreaking. But, you know, I think we just have to understand that it's an organic process and life is always shifting and evolving. Right. And
the tools of the trade are changing as well, of course, the technology. And I mean, the idea before, your keyboard was a grand piano, and now I'm sure you've got this tabletop thing that sounds like a grand piano if you wanted.
Well, it does. You know, I mean, that's funny. On the new CD, and I have a beautiful grand piano in my house that I love to play that was featured on my first record, because that's what that CD was about. Mm-hmm. So I have this beautiful piano here, and for the second record, and there is some piano on the second record, but there's none of it's real.
None of it's real from the standpoint. Before, we probably should take a cut right now. Crystal, I think we're going to play the lead song from your first album that was named When the Heart Speaks. Do you want to give us a little bit of a precursor to what this song is all about, John?
Well, you know, this CD for me, it sort of came about. I was inspired by a friend of mine who was a great guitar player, lives in Los Angeles. His name is Mark Goldenberg, and he had just released his own solo CD. I think that was the first outing for him, and I was just so inspired by it that I came to the realization that, you know, at least once in my lifetime, I need to put my voice out into the world. You know, I had spent so much time supporting, you know, as you spoke about, other artists in their journey and in their creative process, and, you know, very gratifying and you know, led me to a lot of amazing places, but it never was entirely my voice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where this... We're part of the motivation for that CD came from. Another part of it, which, you know, is, I don't know, interesting or not interesting, is that, you know, I'm here on the radio interviewed by you, but I'm really kind of an introvert.
Yeah.
And I don't always verbalize what it is that I'm thinking and feeling. And I just felt like, okay, well, for those of my friends and acquaintances who don't really know who I am, let's let the music speak.
Exactly. So When the Heart Speaks.
There it is.
Here we go. Here it comes, too.
Thank you.
And you know, John, I had that album. You gifted it to me this summer when we were at our mutual friend's son's bar mitzvah. And that is the official music of the Larson Group World Headquarters. And in fact, that peacefulness, particularly when I'm sitting there having to pay my bills or do invoices, which I hate to do, that's where I hit go.
Well, that means a lot to me. I mean, you know, we don't really know anymore how we're going to get our creative voice out there and our expression. And you know, in the old days when we were writing songs and releasing songs and working on albums, you know, our goal was, okay, we want to have a number one record and da-da-da-da, it's going to sell a million copies. And, you know, it's just not the same anymore the way it is. And so for me, it's really gratifying just to know that I've reached one person, you know. Mm-hmm. It is, it's reached, and that somebody is getting something out of it. I mean, that's really all I can ask for.
That's wonderful. Well, speak briefly about the other collaborators with you on that first album. Were these people you had done a lot of project work with before?
For the most part, there's really not that much collaboration on that particular record, but there's one song that was the theme song for a movie that I scored quite a while ago with my friend Kenny Edwards, who was one of the original Stone Ponies with Linda Ronstadt.
How about that, yeah.
And he unfortunately left us a year ago. He made his transition, so we're missing Ken. But I always had a very warm spot in my heart for that piece of music for a lot of reasons, because we also got to work with many great actors on that film, and the director for that film was Diane Keaton.
Wonderful.
Who I actually just coincidentally ran into 3 days ago in the parking lot of my tennis place where I play tennis.
There you go. That's a sign. Yeah. So the reaction to your first album, how is that, the CD that you circulated?
Well, you know, I think that's like I was saying. I think the people that it has resonated with, it has deeply resonated with, and it's just so interesting nowadays to try to find the way to reach the audience. You mm-hmm. know, I know there is a greater, wider audience out there for this music, but it's become a little difficult to navigate those waters and to figure out how to become, how to have them become more aware of your music. There's so much with the internet. There's so much music out there now.
Sure.
That people don't really know exactly where to look, and there's so many things coming at them, and you know, it's challenging. You know, it's not. I'm not going to say it's just the hardest thing in the world. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't believe that at all. It's just, it's interesting. You have to be more creative now. You have to find a lot of more interesting and new and different ways to reach your audience. And so that's...
Like coming on Circles of Change. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Well, you know, but you're still sticking to your knitting, though, and just continuing on that path. And that is, of course, you've just done your second album now. And this one I'm really fascinated with, because it's a whole nother set and slice and diversity and type of music, John. Your bandwidth is phenomenal, just as much as I think you've been fed by all these different types of artists and their genre over the years, that it's now manifesting it, is it not, in your own music selections?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting that you say what you just said. Well, you are quite a wonderful interviewer.
Well, thank you. I learn fast.
But, you know, one of the things I was thinking about with this record, and definitely after the record when I've been putting together all materials for the record to, you know, start promoting and redo my website, and there's one sentence that really always stuck with me, and it's from the movie Adaptation that was written by an amazingly creative and crazy guy named Charlie Kaufman. And the thing that one of his characters said in the movie was, "We are who we love." And for me, that was the key to this record. You know, there were so many artists back in, let's say, the 70s. Mm-hmm. Was really much more of the era that I'm drawing from for this record, that I was just so, that was a time when I was really, really becoming aware of music in different styles and really soaking it all in. And there were so many artists back then that were influential that, you know, I think we all become a conglomeration of all of our influences, our loves, and the people that are inspiring us.
Exactly. In fact, the name of the album is One with Everything. And, Crystal, I'd like you to play a Brazilian piece, right? And I'm not even going to try to say it. It's Essa...
Essa Saudade.
There we go. If we can bring that up. It's going to take me right to the classic movie, A Man and a Woman, quite accurately.
Uh-huh.
That was the blend of French and Latin romance that hit my way. So, Crystal, please...
já passou. Sei que amor assim dentro de mim não vai mais ter. Tanto faz. Eu nem sei se gostei tanto desse amor, como gosto da lembrança que ficou. Se depois do fim achei ruim, já não me apraz, mas me traz.
Okay, John, you have to tell us, what does that mean?
Well, first of all, I have such a big smile on my face. It's the first time I'm hearing one of these songs on the radio.
There you go. We're a first. I love it.
You are a first. Well, saudade is a really beautiful word that I became aware of when I first visited Brazil on tour with James Taylor 25 years ago. Saudade, it really means longing, but it's sort of like a happy romantic longing, not like, you know, you want to go kill yourself kind of longing. Yeah. It's just like you have a beautiful memory. Well, with the lyric, you know, I'm not fluent in Portuguese, and I have to tell you a little bit about the lyricist, but the actual story about the lyric is more about a lost romance, and the guy talking in the story is talking about how the saudade is actually probably better than the romance itself.
Than the romance itself. Don't you love it? That's exactly right. The after, the follow-on, the memory to come with that.
Yeah, because you were romanticize it, and it'd probably make it a lot different than it ever really was. And I had been struggling trying to get a lyric on this track. The singer that sang that for me is an old friend of mine named Kleber Jorge, really wonderful Brazilian singer-songwriter who plays with Sergio Mendes a lot. And, you know, we've been struggling, and I'm trying to get somebody to write it, and then a friend of a friend of a friend sort of said, well, why don't we send it to so-and-so, Dori Caymmi, who's, you know, his ancestry, his lineage in Brazilian music, is his father was around the time of Antonio Carlos Jobim and one of the originators of the Bossa Nova movement, and he apparently really liked the track, and said, well, you know, I'm not the writer, but I'll send it to my lyricist in Brazil right away, and he'll write it for you. Turns out that the lyricist has written with Jobim and Yvonne Linz and all these amazing Brazilian artists that have been my idols for years. So now I have a collaboration with this man who has written with all of my favorite Brazilian artists.
And you know what? As always, as we say on this show, it isn't about the how we need to worry about. So long as we get very crystal clear on the what, the hows seem to fall our way.
The intention.
The intention, exactly. To think that, you know, like you said, a friend of a friend of a friend, and bingo, now it's circling back to you. Well, there's, again, speaking to that variety that's on this second album, I don't want us to run out of time, because there is this really fun song, Dry No Olives, that you wrote for a Sandra Bullock film called The Blind Side. Give us a little explanation before we play that cut.
Well, it's, you know, I'll try to make it short. You know, it originally was not written for that movie.
Okay.
It was written because, you know, a lot of us composers and songwriters are affiliated with sites on the web that are like houses of all sorts of music that people that are looking for music mm-hmm. go to in one spot, and they can check out many different things. So I'd got an email that a particular movie that was being done at the time, which I think was about JFK, needed a 60s kind of cocktail-y kind of jazz mm-hmm. thing. And I was like, well, I can do that.
I can do
that. So I went downstairs in an hour, and I did that piece all virtual, like you were talking about earlier. Nothing was real, but it sounded completely real. And they liked it. They didn't actually use it for the movie, and it sat around there for a couple of years, and then all of a sudden I got an email, mm-hmm. hey, you know, we've licensed the song for this new Sandra Bullock movie. And I was like, wow, that's just so interesting. And so people really liked the track, and I figured, why not put it on this record? So I've actually gotten some of my friends to come in and you know, make it more real, as it were, except that the piano, as we spoke about earlier, is still virtual.
Virtual. Matt Crystal has played this. This is Dry Noelis. It's almost like no wine before it's time. You did it 2 years ago, but it wasn't right ready for the cork to come out.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. That's the thing, exactly what you were just talking about. You know, you have the intention,
right,
to achieve something or put something out in the world or become something. And, you know, you just hold on to that intention, not really paying much attention to what it's all going to look like or how it's going to manifest. It's not about that. You know, we don't really know. Most of the time, we really don't know how all that's going to come about. But if we just hold on to that intention, that powerful intention of what we really want to experience and feel, then, the universe usually delivers.
I like that. So this title, the tagline for our show, How Do You Keep the Music Playing? And does the song remain the same?
Yeah.
And your answer is?
Well, I think that's the answer. I think the answer is to just remain true to your intention and your goal. Your goal in that way, but not specific. You know, I think when we get specific, we may get a little limiting about what we can experience, and it really shouldn't be about limitation. It's about being unlimited and just accepting and surrendering to what the universe can and will deliver for you.
Absolutely. Well, John Gilliton, thank you so much for joining us. Our listeners, go to JONGILUTIN.com and learn about his two albums, and John will look forward to tracking the ongoing manifestation of beautiful and diverse composition music. Thanks for joining us here on our 250th show.
Oh, thanks so much, Zara.
You bet. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.